You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, we're talking with Claudia Chaseling. She's in Berlin now. Claudia, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thanks, Brainerd. It's my pleasure.
Let's talk about what's happening in your studio. So now you're in Berlin, and do you have a studio right there? Because I know this is not where you expect it to be. And whether you do or not, what is it that you're working on at the moment?
Yeah. So in Berlin, I have my main studio where I kind of work for a long time now, 7 years or something. But I travel a lot, and I actually spent my time between Canberra in Australia and Berlin. And I also have a smaller studio in Canberra where I go, like, maybe sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes 3 months, just, you know, where the work goes. That's where I go usually. And then, yeah, and I'm mostly focused this year on flat works again, like two-dimensional paintings in the studio. And I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how I can bring the bridge between abstract painting and actually content I want to communicate. You know, how can a visual work and then still have a clear meaning? You know, and so this is a bit of a bridge, but I've come very far the last few months. So I'm quite happy with this new body of work.
Well, I want to talk about that. I want to talk specifically about content, I think, in relation to abstract work, but just to get a complete sense of how you're traveling. So you're traveling around, you said, where the work goes. Is that, are you teaching in different places, or that's where your art is being shown? Like, what brings you around and sustains you to begin with?
So it's different, you know. Sometimes it's more residencies, then I sell works and I get scholarships, and it seems like a few years something works, you know, and then the other thing works. And so I was fortunate and lucky so far that I could just sustain myself like that. And I always try to find something that sustains me so I can work independently and, you know, develop and be free, kind of in charge of my time.
And you've been able to. I mean, that's why I asked. That's somewhat remarkable, right? That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think I think it's a lot of decision. You know, when you become clear that this is really all you can do, and then it becomes such a necessity that somehow it works, you know, and it has, of course, sometimes these or that circumstances attached to it, but it's not, you know, it's better than being locked down and not able to make your work, I think.
And that's evolved over time, I imagine, because you are traveling so much.
Yeah, so it happened that I kind of the last 3 years, I basically split my time between New York, Canberra, and Berlin. And now I'm more focusing, like, on Berlin, and I really try to then just go for where the exhibitions are and not so much for residencies anymore. But in Australia, it's really the place where I could call it brought up as an artist. You know, after studying, I got a one-year scholarship after studying in Berlin to Canberra, and it really changed my work and had a huge impact on me being there. And so I decided I want to continue being in Australia, and I just stayed and had my studio there. And I also started establishing myself after 5 years. And but then it happens, you know, that I kind of missed my home language town, you know, and so I went back to Berlin but I got this really fantastic Australian scholarship to London. And it was actually this one, it's called Samstag Scholarship, you know, and it's also for a year. And that really enabled me to live in both places and kind of work here and there. And it's always a bit of a, you know, you have to see how it goes. Sometimes when I really know what I'm doing, I can travel a lot and just, you know, makes it work.
But still, it's enabled you to paint, which is amazing, right? I mean, do you see yourself as you're a painter that's surviving that way, which is also, you know, powerful and remarkable.
You just need to deal with a lot of logistics, and then you kind of it goes easier. But I also have these times, like this year, for example, I really needed to just have a really lot of quiet times and just develop new ideas, you know, so not to repeat and really to figure out how I can do it with the three and two dimensional and the meaning which is behind it, because they look very visual, my work, like big, you know, abstract, colorful, spatial paintings, but it's kind of what drives them and what makes me start these paintings. It's always a very particular subject I want to communicate, you know, something that, and at the moment it's just like, you know, this fine border, you know, where you can see it and where not, and I'm really developing that at the moment, so it's a very exciting.
Well, let's talk about that if we can. I mean, that's an interesting thing. It's always odd, right, on radio and audio, I'm talking about visual art all the time, you know, and this is this is something that's really interesting too, this idea of, you know, the content that you want to bring, the story you want to tell, the narrative, so to speak, of work that, you know, for some people may just be about form and color. So so let's talk about that a little bit. That's consciously a new set of ideas that are being brought into your work now, or just an approach, or both?
No, I could always only make work about something narrative. And also when I was little, like really in my teens, I was writing a lot. And this kind of this thought element never left my work, you know. But it's, in abstract painting, sometimes it goes, it makes you make the work, but then it disappears visually. And I'm just trying, because what actually really started this process now, that I really need to become more clear, want to become this, makes this message somehow visible, maybe even in words, is, you know, I saw this documentary. My work was always about environment and kind of space and what's in between things we see. You know, how can you describe this invisible mass? And then I saw a documentary about the use of depleted uranium weapons. You know, it's kind of, it's these days it's used in every NATO conflict. So the NATO uses it. It's used also by the U.S., England.
It uses what exactly? What was the word?
It's called depleted uranium weapons. And there's one amazing documentary about it, which was made in 2003 by Frieda Wagner, about this a professor called Sigurd Horst Günther. And he was a professor in Baghdad and figured out that in the Second Gulf War, there was radioactive, the highly toxic radioactive munition used, and it has like a huge impact on the environment. People, like women, get children, and they don't ask anymore if it's a boy or girl. You know, they just ask if it's normal or not. You know, if it's alive, does it look like a child? And I saw the documentary in 2005, and then, you know, it just didn't let me go anymore. You know, I kind of tackled more information, and it's a really horrific condition on Earth at the moment, basically, you know, and so I just decided I have to put this somehow more into my work, more, and make it more readable, accessible, and most people are shocked because nobody knows about it, you know. And then I also made this graphic novel. I don't know if you had time to watch it. It's called Murphy the Mutant. It's on YouTube. And so, and that was my first attempt in 2012 and 13 to tackle this subject. And now my large scale painting, you know, like these space filling, wall, floor, ceiling spatial paintings, they merge now more with the graphic novel together and become really like information you can read, and you can look it up on the web and stuff. And this is what I'm working on at the moment. And on a book, I'm also working on my first book. It's a monograph about all the spatial paintings, but this is also a borderless project, you know. I mean, you start on one.
So the book's kind of interesting. Let's talk about the book. So the book is really a monograph. It's a catalog of all of your work.
Yeah, because all the paintings have vanished, you know. Like I made I think 25
the spatial paintings. You mean that are installations kind of disappeared? They don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore. And so I got this grant from Art SET in Canberra to make my first monograph. And we are working on it now for 1.5 years. that a publishing house in Germany, an artist in Australia, me, and a few other people, and it's really a big. That will be a really big book, kind of containing all the work that has vanished. And then we also decided to include the earlier work because it is two-dimensional, but it has, like, visually, you know, in the flat paintings, the perspective creates a huge depth on the show face and in the space. There's always one viewpoint where this work in the space, spatial paintings, are flat. And they're drafted out like in watercolors, like 30 by 70 centimeters or something like that, you know. I draft all the ideas really flat, and then I put them in the space. But from one point of view, they can be still seen as flat. And then in this way enables me to really be able to tip or turn the interior room optically. Yeah. Does it make sense?
Yes.
To you?
Yes, it does. It does.
So what we do in the book, we have on the first page a draft always of each spatial painting, and then there is a perspective from which I painted it, and then there are other views from the side where you see how it's all falling apart, you know, and how the elements.
Well, it's interesting because it exists on several levels. Now that you're making this book with multiple views and the original doesn't exist anymore, it's sort of a narrative on top of the narrative or something, right? I mean, you must see some other story emerging of who you are in a way, too, I would imagine. Do you know what I mean? Now there's like a third level back, looking at a book that's looking at work, that's looking at it from different angles.
Yeah, this is really out of my hands. You know, I'm really surprised. I think we will print it now in April. And I'm really surprised how it actually will look then, you know, seeing it like this and kind of combined in a book. And there are some really good authors also involved. So it will be.
So to go back to this content that you were talking about in the book, this, you know, this post-war, you know, horrible birth syndrome and everything, how will that? Well, that's not part of the book, is it? And, you know, and is it also part of, like, the drawings or painting that you're doing right now?
Yes, it is. And it's kind of, it's always there for the last, since 2012, really, every work has this as a subject, you know, the mutations in the environments, in, like, places like Afghanistan, ex-Yugoslavia, Iraq. But it's really, it's used in every conflict zone the NATO is active. It's unbelievable. And it's the NATO using it, you know. It's basically a weapon of mass destruction. And nobody is really 100%, nobody is really aware of it. Except, you know, a few people I am now also in touch with, you know, online and kind of. And in the new work, I decided now, okay, I have to make this information accessible, but I'm a painter. You know, I paint, but I make this information accessible. And I also last month we just decided, okay, this new body of work has to come in the book too. So this is what makes it all a bit delayed. It was supposed to be printed in January. But now, does it?
Well, it'll be a rich project. I think it sounds like it'll present. A lot, and I think it's very interesting too. The idea of trying to, you know, to bring that, you know, content you're talking about, which is, you know, often not in work that's abstract or can look as formal as yours. You know, I think that's powerful. You know, art should be transformative, or could be transformative. I shouldn't say it should be, but art can be. I mean, did you agree with that? That's part of wanting to be, I don't want to use the term activist, but wanting a message or something to actually impact
I think,
people?
I think art can't really change anything, you know, but at least you can, how do you say, bring information out, spread information about certain conditions. And for me, it was, I kind of can't not use it. You know, I would lie to myself. It was a big obstacle and a problem, you know, how to combine, like, this message with abstraction. Because also, and then usually, you know, I have these times where I start really figurative and I think, yeah, you know, it has to be there in the image, in the picture. But then the picture becomes so powerful that the painting is dead. You know, so I start erasing the figuration again, and it becomes really abstract. But then the painting speaks, and it carries this energy and the subject on an intuitive level. So this is really important for me, that the painting works as a painting, you know, out of color and form, and that it has this. And I think there's hardly any art medium that can have this immediate impact like a painting can have or a drawing, you know, because it's so simple and easy to grasp. You know, I'm talking now about the work on the flat paintings, you know, the two-dimensional paintings. You know, you can, it's like a billboard, you know, and when you're an artist, you know, I have the subject that's kind of annoying me that it is like that in the world and it exists, you know, and the more you read about it, the more stupid it gets and horrible it gets. And then I think, well, it has to be addressed, you know, and then I just work on it, fiddle around in it, and eventually I found a solution. Yeah. Maybe that's
and so what other subjects are there? Because this is now content that could be applied in any field. Are there other subjects like that? I mean, that one's very, very difficult in a way I would think to explore more ways. Are there other areas of concern like that you're exploring?
No, I'm really focused on this nuclear toxication, like uranium plutonium contamination in conflict zones. That's really my focus at the moment. And before that, I was really interested in these dead areas on the planet, you know, like medium stripes between highways and stuff. You know, that was something that interested me before, like where humans build so much and are so efficient that it's basically, as a normal human without a car, not possible to exist anymore. You know, so do you know these places, you know, under spaghetti highways and in suburban areas? You know, and then there's this little green patch, but it's so dead.
A little green patch in the median, between the highways that are right in between the lanes going in opposite directions?
Yeah, that was something I was looking at before.
Right.
But more kind of from an environmental, urbanistic point of view. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. But yeah, that is a very sort of, you know, odd creation there, you know, as there are so many. And so when you're working in your studio and traveling, are you planning other installations or shows that would incorporate some or all of these works or different kinds of things?
Yeah, I'm usually working on always on a spatial painting. Yeah, and I draft this in like watercolor paintings, watercolor.
Now, wait, before you go on, just to explain, because people are listening to this, and there's also a text about it. But a spatial painting means, and just correct me if I'm wrong, that it's a combination of you know, what looks like color paint all over the walls and floors. It feels like it's multi-dimensional somehow. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a mural painting. Often includes like also works on canvases or objects. I make concrete objects that are often put on the floor so far, and canvases leaning on the walls. They're usually also quite large, and the painting often goes over the floor, the ceiling, the wall, sometimes only off to the wall and the floor. So it varies. And usually I get the space, so I know, okay, I will make this painting and this spatial painting in that particular space, and then I make these drafts for that particular space over usually like around 20 for each spatial painting. And I have a particular subject, you know, I'm working with, or how I address the subject then.
And will there be a catalog or any other kind of, you know, graphic novel, or will you make you know, more about this particular?
I had one special painting where I actually included the graphic novel on video. So I had drawn the graphic novel. It's also on YouTube. You can see it. You just Google Murphy the Mutant, Claudia Chaseling. And then it comes up. It's like 12 minutes. And it's in two parts. And so in the spatial painting, was over the wall and the floor. And it was 12 meter long. And on one wall, I showed the first part. And on the second wall, I showed the second part of the graphic novel. And I was just turning on the video. I just turned the pages and speak the story of to the images. That was my it was the most direct way for me how I can capture it on video, because I can't be in the exhibition space every day, you know, and reading the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, that's exciting. So that's in a sense what you're sketching out now, or thinking about it in terms of ideas and presentations.
Yeah, and then it's really it's a bit complicated to talk about the exact work on the phone, you know, because it's so much in process now, in progress, mm-hmm. and then the visuals, but it will have to do like with uranium in the soil, uranium in its use, and then it's the result. So I'm working on a kind of...
So you're looking at it as also these kind of uranium issues all over the world. That's part of what your research is taking you
now?
Yeah,
at the moment, I'm always start with what's closest to me. So at the moment, of course, I'm doing mostly research in the uranium mining in Australia. Mm-hmm. Mm. Because that's kind of my backyard, so you start where you are. I start where
right.
I am. You know, I wouldn't talk. It's kind of course, there's probably lots of other countries and issues and all of that, you know, but there's kind of only so much I can cover, honestly, where I can also really kind of have hands-on information about things.
Mm.
Mm.
You know, I want to close by just, you know, telling people there's more information on here, but also in terms of what you're saying, which is an important social issue about uranium, is there anywhere you want to point people to? There will also be links in this interview to places where people can help, but in closing, I'd like to know if there's anywhere people should look for a show of yours besides the links that we'll be providing. And also, is there anywhere where they can go to support research into, you know, uranium toxicity, you know, areas or anything like that? You know, just maybe if somebody will be interested.
Yeah, that's fantastic that you mentioned that. So every people should really watch on YouTube this documentary of Frieda Wagner. There are two versions. One is called Der Arzt und die verstrahlten Kinder von Basra. It's from 2003. And then there is a shorter version a few years later. It's called Deadly Dust. And they're both, I think one is just cut down and a bit more, the second one is shorter. But it's, I really beg everyone to just have a look at this and then, you know, do it whatever you want. But it's really lifelong research of this. One professor, he returned after the war to Basra and kind of continued researching, and he died in January. Yeah, so he can't research anymore, but there are other people now taking over. And it's also, it's a big subject in the UN, and yeah, but it's hard to move big lucrative weapons, because it uses this weapon, the depleted uranium weapons, they use rubble from nuclear reactor, so it's a very efficient way to get rid of nuclear waste from nuclear reactors. Mm. You know, and it's hard when there's such a big economic monster behind it, you know, like such a big profitable power. It's hard to change habits, you know, or not to to say, okay, it is a weapon of mass destruction, we shouldn't use it. I mean, especially with all our ethics, you know. But So I please everybody should watch this documentary. And then I'm just working at a solo exhibition in a very new Munich gallery called Dirk Halverscheid. So, and that will open in September 2016. Yeah, so that's my...
Claudia, thanks so much for talking with me today. I look forward to seeing that show open. And thank you again for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you so much for this interview and also for the work you do, you know, kind of bringing so many artists and so much knowledge together and so much thought. And yeah, it's very unique. I haven't come past something like this before.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.